Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. Oh, I'm so excited about today's show. I have got a great guest with us, Damian Lupo. And over the last quarter century, Damian has started and owned more than 30 different companies, including an insurance agency, a precious metals firm, a venture capital company, a financial consulting firm, and more than a dozen real estate investment and development companies. He's also the founder of Yokido, his own martial arts, and holds three other black belts. Damian is a five-time author and sought-after financial consultant for accredited investors and business owners. Using his vast knowledge of financial markets, money psychology, and pattern recognition, he's an expert at quickly diagnosing hidden financial cancers with clients and their organizations and rewiring both for success. Damian's personal philosophy centers on self-responsibility and a conviction that the only path to freedom is through candor, growth, and a big vision. That big vision idea is what drove him to found Total Control Financial in 2016 and design everything around a 10-time growth and 10-time impact for the client, the team, and the shareholders. It's my pleasure to welcome Damian.
Belinda, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, my gosh. So just take a few minutes then. You gave us a lot in that bio, but just fill in the gaps a little bit about your journey and really what work it is that you're doing today.
Well, I think that the main thing that we really should hit immediately is that there's all this stuff. There's these 30 businesses, and just candidly, about half of those failed, flopped, were a disaster, lost hundreds of thousands, some of them millions. And so the other thing is those overnight successes that I think a lot of times people hear in the stories, that overnight took about 20 years to go through. So it was a lot of me figuring me out. It wasn't that I woke up one day and said, you know what, I've got this great idea. And tomorrow I went public with my new Snap thing and made $12 billion. So it really started when I was a long time ago, probably 25 years ago. And I was just sitting there struggling with a problem. The problem was my parents were telling me no. And if you've ever been told no, it's frustrating. And if there's a little burning entrepreneur inside you or you want more from your life than just to be put in a box, you start asking yourself, how can I fix this problem? And so my life has been about fixing problems, whether it was finding a way to buy Nintendo games and creating a business out of that because I wanted to play games as a kid, or being annoyed that the bookstore on campus when I was going to college seemed to be raping and pillaging all of the students. And I thought, I could do better and I can perform a service that will serve the students. And it was so good that the school said, you literally have to shut down or we're going to kick you out. And that showed me that I was on the right track. So I just kept doing those things and starting things, trying things. And I was really so youthful and naive that I didn't know what I didn't know. And I was willing to try things and fall on my face. And I wasn't really worried about being eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. And I think that's a lot of what people end up being afraid of, that a tiger is going to jump out of the weeds if they make a mistake and it's going to eat them alive. And I promise it never happens. You might lose some money. You might have your feelings hurt. You might be a little judged. But the truth is, that's how you grow. And if you're in the process of doing it, like I've been over the last 20 years, once you get involved, you get a little addicted and you end up being really in a happy place. Even when you're falling on your face, you're still smiling going, that was really interesting. I just grew. I just learned. And this is just kind of where I exist now because it's so normal. But I don't think you start there necessarily because you have so much programming that pushes you to be safe and secure inside a box. And you end up living for other people's security instead of your own passion and your own dreams.
I think that's absolutely spot on. And I think fear is what stops people from doing something. But I also think at the same time, there's a lot of, I don't want to say envy, that's kind of a strong word, but there is this resolution that people have. And it drives me nuts when they look at someone else's success and they say, oh, wow, you're really lucky. Or how did you get that break? You know, my husband just got a really awesome job with a really big record label and it's pretty exciting. And somebody said, oh, wow, how did you get that connection? It's like doing the same thing and doing it very, very well for 25 years. You know, they don't just land in your lap overnight. But while you're working and learning and growing and trying different things and meeting new people, I mean, then opportunities do present themselves. And I think that so there's the fear that holds people back. But at the same time, there's these people that just look out from the outside and think, wow, must be lucky. And there's really very little luck involved in it at all.
Well, I think you're onto something too, Belinda, that it's we tend to compare ourselves to what we see out there, and what we're seeing are these highlight reels on Facebook, and what we don't see is reality. So we're comparing our life that we're in 24/7 to somebody's snapshot that's 3 seconds of their trip to Tahiti or their new job or their new, like in my case, 10 years ago, I remember buying my Ferrari and I was all excited and people go, that's so amazing. You're so lucky. And there's that envy. And I was thinking, yeah, but I was literally out there bleeding, trimming hedges at my rental properties and basically killing myself sleeping under my desk for the last 5 years. I think you missed that part because that wasn't on the highlight reels. All you're seeing is this shiny fast car zipping by you and you think, oh, so lucky. How come you get that? And we missed the backstory completely.
Exactly. And I think that people get so wrapped up in that, and you are probably absolutely right that it's even worse today with all the social media applications that people are, like you said, on Snapchat, watching a 3 second, you know, reel or seeing pictures on Facebook. And it's like, there's always, always a backstory. And it's usually called hard work.
It is hard work. There's that quote that the harder I work, the luckier I get. And there's something so true about that. And I recently heard somebody talking about some social media stuff that they were suggesting I do. And I thought it was a great idea about sharing little sound bites and little video bites that people can see. And it's 10, 15, 20 seconds. And they called it a teaser. And I go, yeah, it makes sense. And now I'm thinking today that teasing is in a way going to make people crazy with the things that they see, not necessarily these sound bites, but the life bites that we get where we're sharing the best of, and we're not sharing the true real life. It's not reality TV. It's just a facade. And we've got to be careful about that because we call things reality television, and it's not reality television. It's choreographed. It's made up. It's drama. It's entertainment. And we start to think that that's life, and then we get really depressed. And that's very Western civilization right now. And we've got to be conscious about what that is.
I couldn't agree more. So tell us a little bit then about your business today and then how this has shaped your lifestyle.
Well, one of the things that I did, Belinda, early was ask myself, what do I want my life to look like? And it was, I formed my life in my, I had a vision of it. And my core philosophy or my core value is freedom. And I wanted to make sure that I could move easily, that I could be different places, that I could travel with my friends, because my friends tend to be all over the world. And what became really obvious quickly is that I needed to create a company that could serve a lot of people, and it could do so from anywhere in the world. And so that's how this business kind of gelled up and formed up. And it was my old partner saying, you really could do a lot more. You're serving a handful of people and it's embarrassing. And I went, you know, you're right. And so I had to put my big boy pants on and I had to say, I'm going to go out there. And this is hard because in 2008, when I melted down, this is part of the backstory of what has shaped me. I lost my confidence. I had a $20 million portfolio that I'd built up from scratch, no college education. I got kicked out 4 times. And I had this thing that I'd built and I lost it. And it wasn't so much that I'd lost the money. It was that I lost my confidence and I lost my identity. And I had to build that back up. And then once I really started to believe in myself and trust myself again, the question was asked, what are you doing playing so small? And I went, you're right. I can do something about reimagining what the 1% is. Not the people, not the billionaires out there, but this new idea that there's a group of people, the new 1%, that are self-responsible and want something different, and they're willing to take responsibility for their life. And that's what Total Control Financial is all about. It's about empowering people, building up their confidence muscle, and getting them the heck off the Wall Street roller coaster so they can actually own their life and they're not sitting in fear and anxiety every time they get a market report, which is what happens with most people and their money. They're terrified because they don't have any control around it.
Right. Absolutely. Great. Well, share with us then, what are two of your greatest skill sets that have helped you be successful in owning your own business? I know that different people relate to different people and pick up different things that have helped entrepreneurs be successful. And I think one of the hardest things in owning your own business is being self-employed. It's having that self-accountability. So what things are your greatest skill sets that have helped you be successful in that?
Well, the two of the things that come to mind immediately are tied directly to one of my six key values. And I think this is really important. If we can figure out what our most important values are and then tie those to skill sets, all of a sudden we've got some serious power. There's a synergy that happens. And for me, one of the things that always happened was I would have conversations with people and I would ask questions. I'm naturally inquisitive and I would ask questions and it would get down to money very, very quickly because you can learn a lot about people. It's why people don't want to talk about money because all of a sudden the light gets shined. It's just shown on their stuff and they go, oh gosh, I don't want anybody to know about my habits or what I do. And so these questions would happen and we'd end up having really candid conversations, which candidly, Belinda, would piss people off for a minute. But what I found is that over months and years, I would get people coming back saying, that really helped when you asked the question. It made me really mad. But you started asking questions that I'd never really thought about. And it made me look at things differently about, hey, my business really isn't doing well. I've got a lot of top line, but I don't have any money in the bank and I'm stressed out and I'm not in a happy place. And you made me think about whether I was doing the right thing. And so that was a big realization that that's a core piece that I'm willing to do. And there's a lot of power in having candid conversations. The other one is the 10X thinking. And this is really about forcing us out of our comfort zones. I do this all the time. So for example, every day I'm looking at my goals and I'm asking myself, what could I do that would create 10 times bigger, more powerful, more legacy, more impact from what I had envisioned yesterday? What happens there is I'm always having to look out into the future because you can't create 10 times bigger anything if you're looking into the past. It just doesn't work. You can do 10% more, but if you're really going to have an impact on other people and you're going to have a happy life, you've got to be growing. That's one of the other six values, by the way, the growth. If we're not growing, we're dying. And I think a lot of times we're looking for that cruise control moment, which is why I hate the idea of retirement so much. Because people go into cruise control and what they don't realize is that they're just tiptoeing towards death's door safely and it's depressing and it doesn't work. So thinking about 10X all the time, thinking about a bigger impact and a bigger life, not just more money, but something that's bigger, that's really you showing up and living into your potential, shifts everything. So being candid and the big thinking will change everything if you just own those two pieces.
That's great. Then that was really great advice. I think that you're absolutely right that people, they do settle. I think that's the biggest thing for people is they settle. I was just talking to a really good friend yesterday and she said, well, I'm just going to stick at this for 7 more years because I'm going to get my partial retirement. And I was thinking, oh my gosh.
No, don't do it.
Don't. Why? You're killing yourself. So, and it wasn't anything great that it was going to be that was going to make that difference, but it was like, wow. And we're not going to do all these other things in the meantime that I'm waiting on these 7 years. And it really hit me. I didn't say to her, oh gosh, don't do that. But I said, well, here's some things you could be doing at the same time. Like, not wait for 7 years, but why don't you start living that dream now? I didn't want to say just abandon your whole half a pension you're going to get, but it's like, why are we waiting? What are we waiting for? So that was my main advice that I gave her. But the whole time I'm thinking, what a horrible, horrible way to be thinking and living your life.
And so when that happened, what made you hesitate? Because I know my personality, I would go, that's insane. Why would you? I watched my dad do this. I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing my job. I said, why? He said, well, because I only have 13 years until I get my pension with the government for this job. And I said, you hate your job. You're angry every single day. And he said, you don't understand. It's the safe, secure thing to do. And so at that point, I shifted. So I'm wondering, what would shift you into the point where you literally slapped somebody around that you cared about? Because people don't change unless they literally get jarred loose and that person is going to give away 7 years of their life. And that's depressing to me to hear.
And I will tell you the answer to that, because on another friend, I would have given different advice. Mm-hmm. And so this friend does not believe in themselves yet. So I spent the next half hour talking how to build that up, like how to get that confidence level built up, how to get that belief system built up. So if you tell somebody, why are you doing that? That's crazy. It's insane. And yet you know that they probably really don't have the belief or the skill sets that are going to get them there. You're kind of setting them up for disaster. So that was why I didn't. Because on another friend, I would have said, oh my gosh, what are we talking about here? Like, what kind of money could you make? What are we really talking about? That's what I usually say to people. What's the money that you really need to make then that you need to replace with this lifestyle? Like, what are we talking about? And how can you get that so that you don't have to be miserable? And with her, I just know she's just not quite there yet. But I just really did encourage her not to wait to get started on something different for the next 7 years, but start it. And she's like, well, I just don't have the time. I'm like, yes, you do. You can carve out the time. You can find, you know, an hour a day to start living this dream. You can. And if she can get that built up and if she can start moving toward that, she might decide in 3 years, what the world am I waiting on, right? So I guess that's my thought process.
I think you just hit something really, really important, and that's that confidence. And it's almost the certainty. It's one of those six key needs, that the human needs that we have, the certainty. And if we don't have confidence, if we're not certain about something, then we default back to what we know, that at least we know it won't kill us. And so we're like, okay, well, until all the lights are green, I'm not leaving the garage. And that's the only way that it makes sense, because we don't know what's going to happen. And I think you're right. Until people build that confidence and trust in themselves, there's nothing you could say that would do anything except for make them mad at you. They probably wouldn't go anywhere.
Exactly. Great. So what's one of your most outstanding accomplishments or something that's really meaningful for you that you've achieved?
Well, this is gonna sound great for everybody that loves Donald Trump, but The Art of the Comeback, one of his books, before he was president, I remember reading that and I go, I'm never gonna have that happen. This is when I was doing my real estate stuff. And what's true is that I ended up having a comeback because I got my butt kicked and lost all this money. And I think the greatest accomplishment is going through something and getting up. It's not what we do that, you know, when we're successful or and getting accolades for that. And it's about how hard you can get hit and still get up and be willing to get up, knowing that you could get hit again and starting over. And then I think it even goes deeper than that, because when I got back up and I'd been pummeled pretty badly, it was asking the question that it's the core question in the book Reinvented Life that Chris and I wrote. And the question is asking, what is true? And when I asked that question, I realized, gosh, I wasn't a very good person. Like I wouldn't want to hang out with me. If I knew me 10 years ago, I literally would not, I would run away. That's how bad it was. And I didn't get there until I asked that question and acknowledged who I was and was willing to exchange my mind, not just change my mind and think differently, but literally do like a neuroplasticity transplant, like shift my everything about my neurocortex. And when that happened and I changed, I went, okay, you know what? I can do something that actually matters instead of just focusing on more. And that's why I'm sitting here. I wake up in the morning before the sun comes up excited. And sometimes I'm excited about the tax code, which is probably psychotic, but I'm so excited. I'm so excited about what I'm doing that I've shifted into that place and things change when we're just focused on, I want more money. You're never really going to come from that happy place. And that's where I was for a long time. So that the greatest accomplishment was going into the place where I could trust myself and think about and come from a place of wanting to contribute to people and trusting the universe to provide, and then being able to measure the feedback that I was getting, like you mentioned, the nudge from the universe. I mean, when you get that and you pay attention, you know you're on the right track, or you know to get off the track.
Exactly. Absolutely. So then share with us an obstacle or a challenge that you faced and then how you worked through that.
One of the hardest things that happens when going through a process of growth, you're around people that are comfortable, and a lot of times these are really good people. They could be family and friends and just people you've known for a long time. And the hardest thing for me has been the shedding, where I have these relationships and they really matter. And somebody is shifting, somebody's growing. And when I've grown and gone into a different place, oftentimes those relationships have gotten really tenuous. They've gotten to the point where I had to make a decision. And sometimes when I was historically, I would just not do anything and I would wait until they became so bad that somebody would basically say, forget it, I'm out of here. And now the challenge is looking at really good people like my former business partner that I cared very deeply about and realized this is a bad match. We're out of alignment with our values. And if I'm going to be in integrity, living what I think and doing it, matching that with my words, I have to cut this apart. I have to walk away. That is brutal. It's brutal saying goodbye to people that you care about, that you love. And it's the only way you can move forward into a space where you're not being influenced by people that are stuck. And so that's probably the biggest challenge, is being willing to make those type of decisions, because they're not easy and they hurt.
Absolutely. They are painful. So then what does your working from your happy place mean to you?
I think it means that I get to wake up and I create. And this is in everything I'm doing, whether it's in my business, where I'm helping to create a product that it gets people out of the financial roller coaster that they're on, and starts to help build their confidence muscle so that they're empowered. That is a happy place for me. And it's funny because it's in parallel. It kind of is very similar to the martial arts teaching that I do. And it's similar because you have to be very present in money. You have to be very present when you're on a mat training in martial arts. If you're not present, if you're not focused, if you're not creating, you're going to get knocked down. You're going to be bloodied and it's going to hurt. And so my happy place is going into a more and more present space, whether I'm working on creating new financial tools or whether I'm teaching somebody how to blend around someone else. Whatever I'm doing, it's that creation, and it's being present to that creation and not missing it because I'm chasing something else and all the squirrels that are out there are capturing my attention.
That's great. So what advice would you give to those who want to be entrepreneurs?
I think that the thing that we have to start off with is realizing that the most important thing that you're going to ever invest in, time or money, is in yourself. And it's not about you just working harder. There was an Abe Lincoln quote that I read recently. In fact, it keeps bumping into me. I don't know why I keep seeing this, but it was basically that if you're going to go cut down a tree, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to spend 3 hours sharpening the axe. I'm not going to spend 4 hours hacking at this tree. And this is the foundational work. It's not that we're analyzing things. It's not that we're prepping for all the green lights. It's that we're taking the time to grow us so we're the right person for whatever impact we're trying to have, whatever we are going after. And it's being willing to invest in ourselves even when we don't see the immediate return. It's easy to have a marketing campaign for a business and say, okay, I spent a dollar and I got two. That's an immediate 100%. Great, I got that. It's harder to understand that what happens when you invest in yourself, it's the exponential return. And that's the thing that entrepreneurs need to do. And if they don't know where to go, the best thing to do is to model somebody that's already done it and attach yourself to them and their wisdom, and then run with that and listen very carefully. That will shift everything instead of trying to figure it out on your own and just throwing money at things, because money isn't the problem. Money, and it's not the solution either. It just amplifies what's already there. You have to rewire the context first and make sure you're the right person before you go do that thing.
That is really great advice. And I just think that people, they just emulating someone else or finding a mentor is so key, because there's tons of people that have been down your path in one way, shape, or form. And I just think that people get lots of great advice and yet they don't act on it. They keep seeking it from then another person and then from another person. I see this all the time. And if you would just stop and just take that piece of advice or take action steps, and then once you've grown with that piece, go find another person who's going to give you that next piece of advice when you're ready. But just continuing to ask for more advice and along the way instead of acting is, I think, what trips people up so much. I see it every day.
I think you're right. And I think I'm going to blame Tim Ferriss completely for this. Him, and I'm going to blame Muscle and Fitness, where it's about 6 minute abs in 6 seconds and 4 hour work week. And I say this tongue in cheek, but what we're all looking for is these hacks, these immediate, like what can we do that gets us over the finish line in 1.5 seconds? And we don't have to put the work in. When people reach out to me and they ask for help, I love hearing that. I love having somebody say, hey, you know what? I think highly enough of you that I'd like your opinion. What makes me crazy is what you just mentioned. It's that they don't want to do that. They don't act. They don't do the work. My usual feedback is, great, I'd love to help you. And here's what I want you to do first. I want you to understand the perspective that I'm coming from. So read Reinvented Life. Read my story and tell me if you still want the feedback. What I find is that almost nobody will actually go do the work of even reading a book. And the ones that do, all of a sudden tap into me wanting to help them in such a big way. It changes everything. And it doesn't take that much, but very few people will actually do any type of work. They just want the hack, the quick jump.
That's exactly right. And I see it. I've seen it for the last 20 years. So it isn't even just new with some of these different books and hacks and everything that are on social media. I certainly do think you're right. It's contributed to it. But it has been an issue for people for a very long time. I am interviewing this weekend and I'm super, super stoked about it. It's going to be on Saturday. And a lady and a mentor that I've known, and she's turning 100 in July. And so I'm going in to do this interview, and she still works her business. I've seen her still get up and motivate and inspire people. And there was a large group. She came to my book signing in Minneapolis this past year. And so there was a big, large group of people there, and this several young girls said, you know, what advice do you have to give to us? And I loved it. She said, get a plan and work your plan. And I just had to laugh that was her big piece of advice. But at the end of the day, that's it. You know what? It's like, just get a plan. Make a decision about what you're really excited about or what you want to do. And then take the steps to make that plan come to pass. And I'm really excited because she's been working in her particular industry for probably like the last 60 plus years. And so I think it's going to be real fun to see where it was when she started, where it is today, and the differences in people. So I'm really excited about that.
That's so cool. I'll bet you that if she were asked the question, did you, from where you started and where you are now, were you on a straight line? And I'm guessing the answer is going to be, nah, I was off course like 97% of the time. And I kept going back and shifting and that's the thing. It was just her trust and probably herself to be able to make decisions to adjust and get back on track, because life just knocks us around. And if we don't trust ourselves to get back on track, we're just going to be wandering out in space.
Absolutely. So in closing, you want to tell some of our listeners, what are some new and exciting things that you're working on? And then, of course, how can people find you?
The main thing, the one thing, and I attribute that to Gary Keller, because I study his work, and the focus is on shifting the idea behind the 1%. And really what that means is there's this bastardization of what 1% means to all these billionaires and the wealthy. My focus is to shift 1% of the American population into self-responsibility. That's 3 million people that own their lives and that are in control of their lives financially and trust themselves and have that confidence. Doing that through total control of financial changes society because of the ripple effect of responsibility. That's my entire focus. It's how I'm going to impact the world. It's these million, the 3 million people that go out there and just ripple through society and change the conversation and change the energy. And we're starting that by giving people control over their money and building them up so they have the confidence to go out there and live without fear of whatever happens out beyond them.
Great. And where can our listeners find you?
TotalControlFinancial.com. Come visit us, and you'll find me there, and you'll find ways to reach out. But definitely visit TotalControlFinancial.com, and there's a whole world of information and opportunity to grow there.
All right. Well, great. Thanks so much, Damien. It was a pleasure having you today.
The pleasure is mine, Belinda. Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends, and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.